Stuart. If you've ever been involved in camps, you know that it's a full-on job, and there's not an awful lot of time to disappear or relax. But we do pray that the Lord will just work amongst these young folks as they come. They come from a mixed background, and we are just delighted for the opportunity just to be able to share the gospel. Some of them will already know the Lord, that this will be a great week for them when they'll be strengthened in their faith and that they'll be stirred up to go on walking with the Lord. But we would just pray that this will be a week when there'll be some young people who will begin the journey, who will start the journey this week with the Lord. And that has been, of course, how the Lord has worked over the years in those camp meetings, when we've just known those moments of breakthrough and the Spirit of God just moving and working and striving. So if you do remember that, pray for us. Pray for protection on the whole week. The enemy will have an interest in that week as well. But just pray that we'll know the protection of the Lord, and that every one of our helpers will just know the wisdom of God in these days. So that's our incoming week. It's a bit like heaven. There'll be no night there. So we're just embracing ourselves for all that lies ahead. But thank you again for your fellowship in the gospel, for the support that we know from you, and we appreciate that very much. We're going to turn to Psalm 103. I'm going to read just the first 14 verses and then just share a few brief thoughts with you this morning. So that's Psalm 103. And we'll commence reading at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. For he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Just so far, and we know the Lord will indeed bless the reading from his word. Just a wee moment of prayer. Father, we just thank you for the word of God. We thank you that it's the living word of God. And we thank you today that your word is quick and powerful and is sharper than a two-edged sword. We pray, Lord, that it will be a light and a lamp to us this day, and even, Lord, maybe even a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. So we pray, Lord, however your word will come to us this morning, we pray that it will meet all our needs. And Lord, we know today that you're the source of all of our needs being met, and we pray that we will reach out and touch the Lord today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this psalm, looking at it again, and I was struck by something that I suppose is very obvious to everybody and anybody who reads it carefully, but it begins and ends with the same kind of vein. The psalm begins, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And at the very end of the psalm, we have a similar kind of sentiment. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion, Bless the Lord, O my soul. And here the psalmist, of course, is drawing our attention to the fact that here he is using all of his faculties. Every ounce of his being is being used to address and worship and praise and thank the Lord his God. And that was an observation. There was another observation that I made when I read through this psalm, that never once do we read that the psalmist makes any request whatsoever from the Lord for anything in Psalm 103. But the entire psalm is totally devoted to him ascribing all praise and honor and glory to the Lord. Now that's, in a sense, a challenge to us, isn't it? Prayer is a wonderful blessing that the Lord has given to us. It is an access that we have to the throne of all grace. But you know, oftentimes when we analyze our time spent in prayer, it's often us asking, isn't it? Now, the Bible does encourage us to do that. Don't get me wrong whatsoever. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and the door will be open. We have numerous scriptures this morning that encourages us in prayer to ask, make a request known unto the Lord. That is there for us to know. But you know also, there is another side to it all, and this is it, that the psalmist totally in the Psalm 103 devotes his entire time just to thanking God, just to giving thanks and praise to Almighty God. And in Psalm 103 and verse 2, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits." So here he is acknowledging that there is one who is able to meet all his needs. But before he requests anything from the Lord in this psalm, he's thanking God for the needs that have already been met. "All that is within me," he says, "bless his holy name." So, if you want to get to know how the psalmist made requests to the Lord, you can read the previous psalm, Psalm 102. There the psalmist will teach you how to make your requests made known to the Lord. So it wasn't in a sense that he didn't come asking God for anything. He did. He had his times for doing that. But in Psalm 103, he is totally devoting his being, his whole being, to giving thanks to the Lord. And so that's just for a little moment or two, we're going to do that. We have already been praising God this morning, haven't we? We've been led in worship. We've been led in praise. We've been led into the presence of God as we have been lifting our hearts and lifting our voices unto the Lord. So it's good to give thanks to the Lord, isn't it? And it's good to rejoice in the Lord. And the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, always." And again, I say, rejoice. So I trust today that you have come with a heart that is filled with praise and adoration to Almighty God. Now, it sounds like we have someone else trying to preach this morning as well. I don't know where it's coming from. Is it out of a speaker or where is it? Anyway, let's try and keep our voice above it, and we'll try and just keep going. Let's say, notice something that the psalmist is saying here. Well, he does encourage us to follow this pattern. He encourages us to lift our hearts. Have you ever found a day when you found it a bit difficult to lift your heart to praise the Lord? Have you ever sensed the dark clouds were more heavier above you and lower? And you know, in days like that, it becomes a bit more difficult, doesn't it? But you know what the Bible says to us today? Whoso offereth praise, what is happening? We're glorifying the Lord. Whoso offers praise glorifies me. Do you know what the Lord says to us today? He says the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Now, it's a sad day when his own people cannot lift their hearts to praise him and to thank him for what he has done for us. I trust today you've already, as Psalm 100 encourages us, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And why do we do that? Well, the psalmist tells us, because the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And his mercy is everlasting. I trust today we have an appreciation for the fact today that the Lord is good. And his truth endures to all generations. So we notice then the psalmist in verse 2, he mentions something that I want to pick up on. And really I've just got two things, broadly speaking, that I want to mention this morning. And the first thing is this, man's forgetfulness. And the second main thing I want to share is God's faithfulness. Just those two things. Man's forgetfulness. Verse 2, and this is where I lifted it out of. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I suppose forgetfulness is something that it happens, doesn't it? I'm sure it has happened to you one time or another. If you're a bit like me, it might even happen once a day anyway. And forgetfulness is a human frailty that we all suffer from. And it's something that's not new, so just be encouraged about that. It seems as if it was even way back in the psalmist's day, because he even mentions it, forget not all his benefits. So it's something that we have to grapple with. Sometimes you have to do things to help you to remember, don't you? I had to leave a bag at the door this morning so that I almost tripped over it on my way out so that I would remember to pick it up and bring it with me. And things like that you have to do to help you to remember. But you know, to forget something, you don't have to do anything. It just happens, doesn't it? It happens automatically. And it happens sometimes when you would have wished it hadn't. And some situations you found yourself in because your memory has let you down. And so it's something that we all have. I don't think it's an age concern thing, so don't worry too much about it. But the psalmist is mentioning this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The word benefits there is literally means actions. So it's God's actions. Forget not God's activity in your life. Forget not the activity of Almighty God to make provision for all your needs. And I just jotted down just two or three wee things here. We're to forget not God's benefits to us materially. Materially. Now, I know this morning that the Bible, it doesn't really put an awful lot of emphasis on material things. But there is room in the God's Word to help us to see that material things are necessary. You know what the Bible says? It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what does it say? And all these things will be added unto you. Did you ever think what all these things might be? Well, these things are the things that we need. Not necessarily the things that we want, but certainly the things that we need to help us to get through this life. And I believe today, folks, that God makes provision for us materially. We're in a very rural community today, aren't we? And the Bible spoke about a young man, a farmer, and his harvest was so bountiful and his barns were so bulging that one day he had to sit down and he had to decide, he had to make some big decisions. And so he made some plans and he made some proposals, and that all involved tearing down what he had so that he could build up even greater. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? Here was a man who was, he was taking stock of the situation. He was making decisions that was going to help him because of the bountiful harvest that he had been granted. And you know, it was a harvest that was granted to him, especially in a place like Palestine. Who could ever have thought that he could have ever had such a harvest in a place like that? But God provides, doesn't he? So there was nothing wrong with his planning and his proposing. But the problem was this, that all his planning and his proposing was all around his material gain. And God stepped in that story and says, "You're a fool. Because in all of your planning and your proposing, it was all about your body and your material end, your spiritual well-being. You never sought refuge for." And you know, folks, today, there are many people like that, aren't they? And they are gripped with some kind of an inner compulsion to grab and to get. And they never stop to take time to think that this could be the day when they're ushered into eternity. God says, "You're a fool. This night I require your soul." I wonder this morning, is it that you have got a grab and a grip on material things, and somehow it is overshadowing the fact today that yes, today you could be on in time, but tonight you could be in eternity. And we need to be ready for that event. But what does the Bible say to us today? It does make room for the people of God to give thanks for God's provision for us materially. And so we see here that in verse 2, the psalmist is saying to us, don't forget in your praising of God, don't forget in your lifting up of your heart to Almighty God, that you thank Him for even the roof that you have over your head, for even the loaf that you have in your cupboard, for even the bed that you have to stretch out on. These are the material things that God has blessed you with, and we are to thank God for them. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. And I trust today that you'll find it in your heart to give thanks to God. Not only God's blessings and benefits to us materially, but God has blessed us and He benefits us physically, doesn't He? Physically. Now, I don't know what kind of a routine you maybe had to go through this morning, and all the tablets maybe had to go out on the table, and you had to pick them up one at a time, and I don't know all that you have to go through. And people today have a routine that they must go through to help them physically. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, "Well, there was a day when I felt a lot better. There was a day when I could have ran faster. There was a day when I could have jumped up and gone on and did the things, but today I can't do them the same." But I want to say this. Whatever kind of problem and ailment we may have physically, somehow God has given you the strength to come into His house this morning, hasn't He? God has given you the ability today to get into this sanctuary. And I trust today that physically you will give thanks to Almighty God for the physical strength that He has given you to give Him glory today. You know, the Bible talks about a king. In 2 Kings chapter 20, his name was Hezekiah. He's maybe not one that we dwell on very much, but he's there. In this story, Hezekiah, the king, took ill physically. He was facing death. He was so alarmed with his physical condition, he went into God's presence. This is what he did. He prayed. The other thing he did was he wept. Bible says he wept bitterly before Almighty God. Why? Because of his physical problem. So he prayed to Almighty God. He wept bitterly before God. And you know what the Bible says? God heard his prayer. God saw his tears. And the Lord touched him physically. Now, that's a great story, isn't it? You know, it even is better than that, because not only did the Lord touch him physically and heal him, but you know what else the Lord did? The Lord added a further 15 years to his lifespan. What an almighty touch from Almighty God. Now, that's a wonderful story. But the sad part of the story is this. And this is what I'm going to read from Scripture this morning. Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor that was shown him. There's another verse, and it says this. Hezekiah did not respond to the kindness that was shown him. Why do I tell you the story? Here's a man, you would have thought he would be the happiest man ever walked the face of the earth. God touched him. God healed him. God added a further 15 years to his lifespan. How did he respond? He did not respond to the benefit that was done unto him. You might say, well, however could that happen? Listen, folks, he was a human being like you and I. And there's many a one today who have prayed to God, if you get me out of this situation, if you get me back on my feet, I'll devote the rest of my life to you. I could tell you about a man back in my home county in Armagh who prayed that very prayer in a hospital bed. And he says, Lord, if you get me off this bed and get me back in the street, I'll give my life to you. I'll serve you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. That man did get back off the bed. He got back out on the street. He met a minister one day, and the minister challenged him, and he says, I thought you said you would give your life to the Lord. Do you know what he responded and said? He says, when your back is up against the wall, you'll say anything. And there are many one like that, folks, and they've made vows to the Lord. And Lord, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. But they did not respond to the favor that was shown. Hezekiah, he knew a touch from God physically. He did not acknowledge it. There were 10 were healed one day, weren't there? How many returned to give thanks? One. Where did the 9 go? Where did the 9 go? And I want to say today that you could be here and God has spurred your life. God has spurred you from a disaster that you maybe just don't know anything about. And he, by grace, has brought you right into this very place today. And yet today you're still holding back. And today you've never given him the reins of your life. You've never allowed him to take control and possession of what you have and are. And you're just a bit like the king here. You're not responding to the kindness that the Lord has shown to you. So here we notice what the psalmist says in verse 2. Forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. That clock is moving so fast. I'm just going to just mention the second thing. That was man's forgetfulness. What about God's faithfulness? God's faithfulness. I'm not going to go into these things. I'm just going to mention them. You can look at them yourself. There's 5 of them. Right away from verse 3, that the psalmist just lists of God's faithfulness towards him. The first one is this: he forgives all your iniquities. I want to tell you today, folks, our God, yes, we sing in the chorus, he's a great big God, but he is a pardoning God. And he forgives us of all our iniquities. And thank God today that with him there is mercy. And the Bible says if we confess our sin, he will what? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I wonder today, do you know the gift of God's forgiveness in your life? There's nobody more free in this world than the person who has the gift of forgiveness. There's nobody more liberated in Stranraer today than the one who can put their head on the pillow tonight and know that their sin is under the blood. That their sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, their sin, not in part but the whole, has been nailed to his cross, and they bear it no more. The hymn says, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Do you know his forgiveness today? What a wonderful, faithful God we have. The psalmist here, the very first thing, the top of his list is this, the faithfulness of God to forgive him. Forgive him. So he knows the forgiveness of sin. Verse 12, the extent of that forgiveness is this, that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Are you forgiven today of God? Because when God forgives, he forgets. There's a thought, isn't it? We've been encouraged to forget not, but God forgets. He purposely forgets our guilty past. That's why we can go out in newness of life. That's why we can become a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we confess our sin, he will forgive us of our sin. Notice something else the psalmist said. He heals all your diseases. This is a big subject. I'm not going to deal with it. I want to say today this. The Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings. I believe that. I believe today that there is sufficiency in the Word of God to allow us to believe that our God is able to touch and heal physically. The Lord, did you ever notice the Lord broke up every funeral he ever went to? He did. Because he brought them back to life, didn't he? He did. He was able to do what is humanly impossible for us to do. And thank God today that physically there is no restriction on our God. The ability to heal is with the Lord. We know that. But what is the psalmist speaking about in this verse? He's speaking of our soul's diseases. Our soul's diseases. You might say this, well, whatever could be going on in my life that is needing required surgery from Almighty God to touch a disease in my soul. You know this, there's nothing more crippling than binding than the disease of the soul. And maybe there's those here today and you know the forgiveness of God. But sin can have a binding effect on us, can't it? What are some of the diseases of the soul? Bitterness. Bitterness. Anger. Lust. Hate. Jealousy. Spite. Envy. The list goes on. What is the psalmist? What's he saying to us through this scripture this morning? The Lord is able to heal all our soul's diseases. I wonder today, do you just need a touch from God to set you free from something that has been binding, something that has been eating away at you, something that has just been crushing you? And you've never got freedom and you've never known liberty from it. Thank God today, our God is able. Our God is able. And so he is able to heal. And so that's what the verse says there. Verse 3, he forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. That's the second benefit. The third one is in verse 4, he redeems your life from destruction. I'm just not going to go into this just now. He redeems your life from destruction. What is he doing here? He buys you back. Redeemed means to buy you back. He bought your soul on Calvary. He bought your soul at the cross. And he wants to own you. And he wants you to become his child. He longs for you to be into his family. He redeems your life from what? From destruction. Folks, today we are heading for destruction without Christ. That's what the Bible tells us. We are doomed. We are damned. But thank God when we get Christ in our lives, when we come to Christ, we're off the broad and onto the narrow. We now have a new destiny. We're no longer fearing the dread of a damned eternity. But we can know for sure that we're heading for heaven and for home. The psalmist, he's thanking God for the day that he was redeemed and his life was saved from eternal damnation. Do you still thank God for that? Do you? Do you thank God for the day when he intervened in your life and he saved you? Never you lose the thrill of knowing you're saved. Never lose the thrill of knowing you're on the way to heaven and you're on the way to home. So we see here the fourth one. I did say there's five. That's all I'm going to mention. This is what he says in verse 4. Not only does he redeem your life from destruction, he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Now, when you wear a crown, you usually have a respect. You have a level of which is just a bit above the ordinary, don't you, when you have the privilege of wearing a crown. And this is a biblical term that the psalmist is using. And it's the psalmist who's describing himself, where he was taken from. Do you know where he was taken from? He was taken from the pit. In Psalm 40, he took me from a fearful pit, didn't he? And he put me in the palace. So thank God today as his children, he takes us out of the pit. And where does he place us? In the palace. In the palace as the children of the Lord. He crowns us. He crowns us. And the Bible uses endearing terms, not just his kindness, but it's his loving kindness. Not just his mercy, but it's his tender mercy. And so the last one that the psalmist mentions is in verse 5. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Your youth is renewed. Now there's something should grab your attention. Something like that seems to grab the attention of the world. They're trying to get their youth renewed. And they're spending a fortune to help it to happen. And yet when we come to Christ and receive the free gift from God, which is eternal life, the Bible says your youth is renewed. Yes, the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. And we're going to a city, folks, where we'll never grow old. Wonderful, isn't it? But this is the bit. He satisfies your mouth. Christ is the source of all of your blessings. He is the source of your happiness. And that word mouth, you'll find this a bit strange. It actually literally means your old age. Now, how that happens, I don't know. That's how it is. He satisfies your mouth. He satisfies your old age. That means that when you come to Christ at whatever stage in life you're at, right through your entire life, he is the source of your happiness. He will be all that you will ever need. He satisfies you even in your old age. He's still the one who satisfies you. You know, the Lord can have happy old people. Did you ever know that? He can. The devil doesn't have happy old people. Because the devil has come to kill and steal and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you might have life. And you might have it more. few thoughts from his word. Father, we just pray you'll just accept our thanks today. We thank you your word is quick and powerful. And I pray, Lord, should there be someone here today who needs to be saved, Lord, I pray you'll reveal yourself. If there's someone today who needs forgiveness, Lord, I pray that you will draw near. And I pray, Lord, that should there be one here today and they've been suffering from some soul disease, Lord, that has crippled them and bound them and fettering them today, I pray that they'll leave here set free. Whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. And so we pray that you will just do a deep and thorough work for your glory. Thank you, Lord. You give us a hope not only for time, but for eternity. And I pray that there'll be those today, Lord, whether we begin the journey or whether we're on the journey for heaven and home, help us, Lord, to walk humbly with the Lord. In our Savior's name we pray.